Depression is tremendously overrated. It's just not that much fun. But joy, do you get these joy attacks? I mean, I'm just, doing stuff during the day, and all of a sudden, just an appreciation comes over me, and I just get so happy in my salvation. I just start, just exploding inside, and I'm saying, wow, it's like I won the lottery, but it's even better. I remember this, the first time I started feeling this was just before I had gotten saved, and it was at the birth of my first son. And I was there, watched the whole birth, and something inside of me just went into overload, joy inexpressible. I just witnessed a miracle, and I just couldn't contain myself. And I went home, and I made some popcorn, forgot to put the lid on, and it just popped all over the place. And I was just totally abandoned, and it lasted for 24 hours, and then it lifted. And it was like, where did it go? It was like, where are you? And it was the Lord drawing me with his joy. He was just drawing me. And I later realized that it was the Lord. He had come and he had just touched me and given me a little bit of his joy for the last 24 hours and it lifted. But it was enough to create a hunger inside of me for more. And that's what the Lord does. He encounters us, doesn't he? We have these moments where he invades our space, like Amanda realizes that that wasn't just a chance. It wasn't a coincidence. It was a God incidence. And she knows it. And she's just putting the credit where it belongs. It's not luck. Luck comes from the root word Lucifer. And we don't believe in luck, do we? He's not in control anymore. Jesus is in control. He's always been in control. We just didn't recognize it. Hallelujah. Well, today I want to jumpstart on what was said last week. There are a couple points I just want to review because I think it's very important we just really get this. And if we could, we have our projectionist ready. All right. Romans 6 and 6. We were sharing about the old man. All right, the old man. We're not talking about your dad. All right, we're not talking about your husband, ladies. All right, we're talking about that sin nature that used to keep us from God. All right, the sin nature that keeps us from God. And Paul makes this absolutely astounding. I mean, it's astounding. This is so revolutionary. I mean, I just can't imagine him getting this download from God and then having the boldness to write it out. There must have been such a strong anointing because it's so absolutely astounding. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. When Jesus was crucified, our old man was crucified. And notice it's in the present tense, our old man is crucified. So whenever it tries to resurrect itself, we just remind it it's dead. And we don't use our authority as believers to resurrect the old man. We just leave it dead. Now, belief in the old man will keep you from heavenly encounters. Because the question was, what happens to a Christian when he dies? Where does he go? It's not a trick question. Those of you who were here last week, you can answer, where does a Christian go? Where does a believer go when he dies? He goes to heaven. The Bible says that our old man is dead. If your old man is dead, then where are you right now? You're in heaven. There's a biblical precedent here, John 3 and 13. We need to see something that we are seated in heavenly places. So many times, and we sing songs, Lord, come down. I'm thinking, look, we need to come up. Jesus did. Look at this. He's speaking to Nicodemus, and he says, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, let's just look at this for a minute. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. This is about Jesus, right? The Son of Man. He calls himself the Son of Man to identify with our condition. He didn't say the Son of God. He's saying Son of Man. He's trying to communicate to us that this is what's possible for us. He is identifying with our human condition. So he calls himself the Son of Man. And he said, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. We know that Jesus came down from heaven and that he will ascend. But even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, he's talking to Nicodemus and he says, by the way, Nicodemus, I'm in heaven right now. Isn't that what it's saying? Look at it. Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He's in heaven, but physically he's talking to Nicodemus. He's seated in heavenly places. And this is the secret to his ministry. Heavenly encounters. Do you think that the only heavenly encounter Jesus had was up on the mountain of Transfiguration? No. He constantly lived in heaven, even though he walked on earth. And he said, I'm the Son of Man, showing you an example how you can do this too. You can live in heavenly realms. And the wonderful thing about living in heavenly realms is that nothing can get to you. Nothing this world throws at you can stick. It's like a gun that goes off and the bullet somehow just drops down at your feet. You know, people, betray you and it just hits the ground. The car won't start. It just hits the ground. You know, the check doesn't come in the mail and it just sort of hits the ground. And, it's like disappointments come and it doesn't get to you. It doesn't stick. And the reason why is because the old man is staying crucified. You see, the renewed mind lives from the heart. The unredeemed mind lives from what it can understand. All right, if we live in the realm of what we can understand, when we see bad things happen, it creates a bad response, right? But what does the Bible say to do? Jesus spoke and he said in Luke 9 and 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, if any man wants to be my disciple, or if anybody wants to come after me, if anybody wants to encounter me, this is what he's saying. Let him deny himself. What are you denying? Oh, maybe just doing something else rather than reading your Bible. Maybe just doing something else rather than ministering to the Lord and getting close to him. All right? Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And I was thinking, losing your life was, getting a one-way ticket on a slow boat to Uganda and ministering to the natives for the rest of your life. And that's what he's calling. No. It's nothing like that. All he's saying is that every day, he says, take up your cross daily. Every day. Just make a decision. Just a decision out of your heart. It's not obedience. It's surrender. It's like we're just saying, wait a moment. I want to encounter the Lord. If I'm dead to things that I could else be doing, I will press into God and perhaps I'll encounter him today. And do you realize, folks, that one encounter with Jesus can blow away 20 years of discipline? I used to believe in evolution. I was schooled in it in 12 years of high school and then 4 years of college. I was considering taking a minor in anthropology at one time. I really liked science and all that stuff fascinated me. Then I got saved. And one day I was just ministering to the Lord, and God broke through into my space. And a burst of revelation came to me as he spoke to me, and he says, "It's a lie. It's a lie." 1 second of an encounter with God blew 14, almost 20 years of wrong teaching. And in an instant, the truth overcame a lie by a divine encounter. And up to that time, I would have probably argued with you, but having encountered the mind of Christ, have you had an encounter with the living God? Do you see how valuable this is? How precious this is? How so much better it is to take up your cross and deny yourself of your way of doing things to walk on the threshold of a possibility of a divine encounter with the living God who can change you in a second, and you can be changed forever and perhaps can change your world as a result of that. You know, you think of Gideon and his encounter as he was hiding from the Midianites. An angel appeared to him and changed the course of history through him. You think of Moses who turned aside and encountered the living God from a talking bush that burned with fire. You know, I want to talk to you about becoming a living sacrifice. Because if we become that living sacrifice, there's first a death that has to take place. A decision has to be made that instead of all the other things we could be doing, we are giving ourselves wholly and completely to God. And as a result, there's something that dies inside of us in order to encounter that life. And the neat thing about a sacrifice is that that which attracts the fire of God. Smith Wigglesworth, and this has really impacted me. He said that if he's in a meeting and God's not moving, then he will move God. And he wasn't speaking that out of arrogance. He was speaking that out of his free will as a Christian to make a choice, to be a living sacrifice that will attract the fire of God. When I come here, I make the decision that I'm going to be a living sacrifice, and I'm going to put everything else aside, and when it comes to the worship, it's going to be my whole and complete self laying down on the altar with the expectation that the fire of God will fall on the sacrifice. And I haven't been disappointed for years. And this has been a breakthrough for me, people. Years ago, I used to have good weeks and bad weeks, good days, bad days. We had good services, we had bad services. I can remember telling, the devil really had his way this week. Oh, man, oh, we were fighting principalities and powers and world rulers. And I mean, you know, we were just... And then it dawned on me... through the process of divine encounters over a period of time, that there are levels of authority that you can enter into by making that choice. And in my case, it had to be every day. Every day, taking up your cross daily. Crucifying that old man. The old man is the sin nature that just simply doesn't have time for God. Okay? Just making it. It rebels against God. It runs from God. It's that which just simply doesn't see the importance of God factoring in the life of the individual. And that thing has to be put down. And there has to be that realization of what our inheritance is. We are called to be citizens of the kingdom of God who think differently, live differently, and consider it a privilege to be an offering upon which the fire of God can fall. We were sending around this Francis Frangipane teaching on the call of ministry is the call to die. You basically set aside your desire and you put the desires and needs of others ahead of yourself. That's what Jesus did, and he came to minister to us. And then we realize when he calls us into the kingdom purposes, not only is it a divine encounter with him, but also it results in fruit. Okay, works. Whereby we take what he gives of us and we give it to others. Okay? And so we begin to grow in greater realms of authority. And here's the thing, people, and this is what I'm discovering, is that you can reach a gain place of authority in God where whatever the enemy throws at you, it doesn't get to you. It doesn't affect you. Let's just take a ride here to Psalm 27. I want to show you something that is just absolutely amazing. Praise God. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Here's what the Lord's been showing me. The devil can only accomplish his plans and his strategies in darkness. The devil can only accomplish his strategies in darkness and in places where there's death. Spiritual death and darkness. The believer's response is simply to turn on the light. And light is superior to darkness. It works every time. David cries out from his heart. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He's not just talking of the initial salvation experience. He's talking about the daily salvation from the fear of what is going to happen to my job, the fear of what's going to happen to our finances, the anxiety that comes when we get bad news about a physical attack against our body, or on and on and on, something in our family or whatever, it comes and it seeks to envelop us in darkness. What is our response? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I'm just going to turn the light on. I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm in heaven right now. In heaven, there's no sorrow, there's no fear, there's no worry. There's no worry about finances, you know, no mortgage. Hallelujah. Five more years and no more mortgage. We're done. We had the opportunity to go for 30 years, and we said, no, we're going to believe God that we can get this thing done in 15. And now we're what? We're halfway there. And we're almost done. So now it's getting good. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, that would make a good song. Somebody should think about some music for that. The Lord is the strength of my life. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh. You know, that's what stress will do. It'll eat you up from the inside out. Crohn's disease is literally the body consuming itself. And that's what stress will do. That's what anxiety will do. And years ago, a bunch of psychiatrists got together in Buffalo, New York in the winter, and they made a decision that life is stress. I thought, wow, what a great place to come to that conclusion. But, you know, okay, if life is stress, Jesus is my life, and he's the answer. So there's something that can deliver us from these things that seek to destroy us. Let's move on. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And then we come to the next verse. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek. You know, I just appreciate getting it down to the one thing. There's too many. It's nice just not having any options. It makes it easier. You know, I'm hearing that the problem with the iPhone is that there's too many buttons and there's too many options and it's confusing people. And I like something that just makes it real simple. On and off, you know. Okay. This is the on and off switch of life. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. In our case, we're talking of heaven. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I looked up the word behold, and that's a very important word because that's the verb that ties this whole thing. All right, one thing have I desired. What have you desired? What is it that you desire? To behold. All right, so what does the word behold mean? It means to gaze, as we would expect. But what we wouldn't expect it to say, it means to prophesy as well. It means to prophesy. So he's saying that in order to inquire in his temple, to encounter the Lord in heavenly realms, what's very important in getting there, in breaking through into that realm, is prophesying. Prophecy is basically saying something that is yet to happen. It's speaking, it's forth speaking something that you want to see happen. And there's a beautiful prophecy that comes in tandem with this in Isaiah 60 and verse 1. And there are three ways of looking at the scripture. There's one interpretation in scripture. There's always one interpretation, but there's many applications. So let's take a look at the interpretation of this. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Let's go on a little bit. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Who is this speaking about? Arise, shine, for the glory of the Lord shall come upon thee. At first glance, we would say it's talking about us, and you'd be exactly right. But if we want to be really super accurate for all you biblical scholars, this is a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. This is speaking about the first coming of Jesus. All right? It's looking to the day. The prophet is prophesying. Let's go back. Arise, shine, people, for your light is come. And he's not saying it's coming, it's come. Now, this is prophetic talk. This is hundreds, maybe Isaiah was maybe 1,000 years before the coming of Christ. You can check that out on me. But he's saying, arise, shine, people. Arise, shine, thy light's come. What? Okay. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee, present tense. Go on. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Oh, yeah. We got that. And gross darkness the people. Oh, gross, man. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Oh, yeah, when? And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. When did that happen? When Jesus became a man and visited the earth. That's the interpretation. But now the application, let's go back. Arise, shine. Who's he talking to? Us. Arise, shine. Oh, I used to hate this verse. Before I even knew it was in the Bible, my mother, every Sunday morning, she'd come into the room. Now, I was totally unsanctified. Talk about the old man. Oh, she was alive and well. Even though I was a young man, the old man was wide and bushy-tailed. Anyhow, she'd come and she'd say, "Rise and shine. We're going to church." And I go, "Oh, no." And she dragged me kicking and screaming to church every Sunday, and I'd sit there, and I'd feel so sorry for the pastor, and even more sorry for the worship leader, because they had to come early and stay late. At least I'd get in and out in an hour. Little did I know that God had plans for me. aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you're saved? Hallelujah. I want to say to you, parents and grandparents, it's so important to bring your kids and your grandchildren and your neighbor kids to church. We live in a generation where, you know, people don't go to church. Adults don't go to church. Parents don't go to church. Many don't even know the stories of the Bible. And what's happened, we're losing the next generation. Because they, you know, it's like you've got to be trained. Train a child up in the way he should go, and he will not depart. Doesn't it say that? And I think I was unsaved. I mean, I just hated it and everything else, and I just sit there, you know, bad attitude, whatever. And I mean, bless my mother's heart, she had to put up with a lot. And then there were extra meetings that she went to, and she brought me along too. And I just, oh, I loathe those year after year, year after painful year. And I said, then God arrested my heart one day, and I became born again. I met him personally. And the first thing I started to do was go out and tell other people about this amazing God. And scripture started coming out of my mouth. Where did that come from? I certainly wasn't reading the Bible. I'd sit there and I'd just be thinking about other things, and it still would be getting through into my spirit, into my heart. It was like the Lord was setting me up, and scripture would just flow out of me, and I'd just experience the anointing, and it would be like, wow, the anointing is being able to do things that you can't do in your own strength, in your own ability, in your own talent. You step into something that's more than you, and it's wonderful. It's heaven. That's what it is. I'm in heaven right now. I'm having the time of my life. I am so happy just to be able to share with you this amazing, amazing, incredible word. I mean, it's talking to us. Arise and shine. Having a bad hair day, arise, shine. You're in heaven. You're going to encounter the living God. Your light is here. It's come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. So it's speaking of your attitude, okay? When you come into the house of the Lord, I was sad when they said unto me. Well, that's the old man talking, and that's where I was. But now I'm redeemed, and now I'm glad, see? And the devil's sad. That's okay. Now, there's a third way of looking at this, and it's an application of the interpretation. And this is a prophecy that you can say every day as you prepare your heart to enter into heaven, to walk up into the third heaven and just live in heavenly places all throughout the day. You can, you know, it says, I will behold the beauty of the Lord, okay? Just, I will behold. I will behold, I will prophesy, and I will prophesy, arise, shine, for my light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon me. Let's go on. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon me, and his glory shall be seen upon me. And what you're doing is... David's saying, one thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing will I seek after. That I might enter into his temple and behold him. And then hear and inquire what he's saying as I experience heaven. And the way to do that is to prophesy. Arise, shine, for my light has come. And the glory of the Lord shall arise upon me. Hallelujah. And shall be seen upon me. And what you're doing is you're preparing the sacrifice for the fire of God to come and fall. And it falls. It falls. And it keeps falling throughout the day. Walking in heavenly places, bad news comes. And it's like a bullet, and it just sort of drops down, you know, any of you Matrix fans, you know, just the bullets come in slow motion and you just go, ooh, and it just keeps going, you know, it's like, ooh. And everything just, you know, you're in a different dimension. Time moves a whole different way and whatever. And you know, things happen and you're in this place where you're just walking in glory. And, you know, we think, oh, you know, pray for revival. Pray for revival. Oh, that we see breakthrough. Folks, if you were just to encounter the Lord throughout the week, and you were to encounter the Lord throughout the week, and you were to have an encounter, and you were to have an encounter, and you, and you, and you, and you, and we were all to get together. It's just heaven. And it's just, you know, it's like, Lord, take us higher. This is good. This is good. Take us higher. And so I've made a decision. That's where I'm going to live and operate out of. When I come in here, I'm floating. Because I've been preparing my heart all week. And I'm living in this. And you know, it's so easy to check how you're doing. When fear starts overtaking you. And oh, it does. It happens when I start. I love to watch the news and read it and just keep up on it. I'm very curious about what's happening. And, you know, mostly it's all bad news. And I'm losing money just like you are. And you know, it's just the type of thing where everything just seems to, you know, be getting more and more desperate. And, you know, it's like whenever it starts to start getting to me, I run. I don't walk. I run into that secret place and start prophesying. Arise, shine, for the glory of the Lord shall be upon me. You know, and I just begin to speak out the truth of the real experience. I'm a citizen of heaven, and I'm an offering upon which the fire of God needs to fall afresh. I'm beginning to lose my glow. I'm beginning to lose that place of protection, because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's if you're in the kingdom, which is at hand, he says it's really close. First thing he spoke, he says, oh, it's so close. It's back in the face. He says, I live there all the time. I'm constantly living in heavenly realms. So can you. I came as the Son of Man to demonstrate it's possible. And so I made a decision. Every service is a blowout service here. Because I'll tell you, I've made a decision. I'm going to be an offering. I'm going to come and I'm going to lay myself down and just allow the fire of God to fall on me. And whether nobody else does it, the oil starts at the head and goes down to the skirts. You guys are set up for a blessing. Hallelujah. Now listen, it gets better. Let's move on back to Psalm 27. I just love this. I just love this. We're getting there. Okay, well, this is good. This is good. Keep going. Yeah, you're doing fine. Keep moving. Yep, this is awesome. Oh, that's beautiful. Let's just look at that again. Hold on. This is just all the days of my life to behold the beauty. You know, when you're in heavenly realms, you just see the beauty of things. When you're just caught up with the grutty stuff of life, all you see is the dirt, don't you? You know, I mean, and we're not called to be sparrows that dig in the dirt. Called to be eagles that soar in the heavenlies. All right, now let's look at the next verse. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. So you get this picture of him tucking his wings over you and covering you all up so you're all just nice and cozy. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. Oh, it's like the deer running from the enemy. That's what we are, aren't we? We're like the deer, always running from the enemy. We're just one little weak-hearted little deer, just running from the enemy, always being pursued, you know, by the enemy, and he's always out to get us, and he's running. And oh, if we can just get in the water and hide our scent, oh, we're safe, we're safe. He shall set me upon a rock. He lifts you up and he places you in front of everybody, particularly the demonic hosts, and he shows you off. He says, have you seen my servant Job? get this shot. He won't deny me. The children of Israel, before the whole demonic host, walk through the water. The enemies are completely taken out. Doesn't Psalm 23 say that he prepares a table for me in the midst of mine enemies? Hey, folks, we live in a real world. There's a lot of junk going around. And the thing is, we used to think that it had power over us. But no longer. There is an authority that's being released upon his... Well, it's always been released, but we're catching this. That we are seated in heavenly places all day long. Darkness comes, turn on the light. Who's the light? The Lord is the light of my salvation. Who shall I be afraid of? Whoa. Every time. And you know what? Only those who've died can go to heaven. So the old man tries to pull me towards earthly things. I pick up my cross daily and recognize that, hey, wait a moment, my old man is crucified with Jesus. He's dead. I just remind myself, and I deny myself giving that old man expression. And he says, if any man wants to come after me, he does simply that. He'll encounter. He says, if you lose your life for me, you'll save it. What a deal. What a deal. I just love that word today, Kim. That was awesome. What a deal. What a deal we have in Jesus. Now, there's a good hymn. Praise God. You had enough? I think so. Praise God. You can. I just hope you can catch this. This thing is so life-transforming. And it's ours. We can live in heavenly places every moment of the day. And then we're not dealing with matters of obedience anymore. This question about whether I should sin or not or do this or that, it's no longer an issue. It's now a heart issue, which just deals with surrender. What would you rather do? Would you rather obey, or would you rather live a life of surrender? Because when you're obeying, you're always trying to exert self-effort. How many of you can keep a New Year's resolution? I'm going to lose weight. Yep, I'm going to lose 100 pounds. Yep. And you end up gaining 100 pounds. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's just something about the flesh is weak. But it's so much easier just to come into the presence of the Lord and say, you know, arise, shine, O Lord. My light has come. Lord, change me from the inside out that I no longer desire this. And you know what the thing about it is that in his presence are pleasures evermore. And there is more pleasure awaiting for you in heavenly places than there would be sin awaiting for you in earthly places. And he can take the sting of sin, the lure of sin from your heart and show you that godliness is great gain. Great gain. With contentment. That's the other thing. Contentment. You know, particularly in these times, it's really tough. You know, some of us are having to do without and experience a little bit of the squeeze. And you know, generally when you're denied things, you know, there's a sense of loss. But in God, when you just find that he's just taking you through a season of simplifying your life, that great contentment comes. And it's an amazing place. I mean, heaven is a place of great contentment, of great wealth, of great joy. And it's ours every moment of the day. So I'm hoping that when you come, you bring heaven with you wherever you go. When you go out, you bring heaven with you. And it's on your face, it's on your countenance. And when opportunity comes, there are people out there who need to know that there is a Savior from their pain. And we need to remember how much he saved us from. And it's not a get out there either turn or burn, or you're not winning, you're sinning. It's not that at all. It's just some, oh, Lord, this is so good. I can't keep it to myself. I've got to tell them about the goodness of the Lord. And the beautiful thing is the Bible says, taste and see. You taste and see for yourself. You get the real deal. You have the encounter. And I'm asking the Lord for more. I want more of Him. That's just a cry. I'm just asking for more of Him. I just want more of Him. Because the beauty of that is that if I get more of Him, it can be poured out over this congregation as a covering, a blessing. The more I have of the Lord, the more I press into God. I hope you're praying for me. I'm praying for you. The beauty of this is, you know, the Lord just gives us a place of a breakthrough anointing. And it's a corporate thing. And we all experience this together. I'm hearing from our contractors that they have almost more work than they know what to do with. They're busier than ever. And we're in a downturn economically. And God is still giving them work and blessing them. And, you know, we're just not looking at what the world indicators are saying. We're looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're just putting our trust in Him. And it's working. It's working. I mean, you know, our mind is being renewed from our heart. Because in our heart, we know that we can trust the Lord. And no matter what the world says, we just live in that place. And out of our heart, it flows out to our mind. And our mind gets renewed. And we change the way we think, the way we look. And we start prophesying those things that be not as though they are, and they become. And that's just so much fun. Because it works. And that's what David realized. He says, oh, if I can just behold you, gaze at you, prophesy, and see the heavens open. I can do that. I hope you can too. Father, I ask that you bless each and every one here with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Father, we no longer put any faith in our old man and our old nature that is opposed to you. And we embrace the newness of life that's in Christ Jesus, a new creature, completely new. All things passed away, citizens of the kingdom of God, seated in heavenly places. Lord, I'm praying for divine encounters, not just for a few, but for each and every one here. Lord, if they've not entered through the door of salvation, I pray they encounter you and by the spirit of revelation have their eyes of their understanding open and they know you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I'm praying for salvation today. I'm thanking you for souls being saved, even in this place. And, oh, Lord, I ask for those who've been around for a while that you'd ignite their hearts afresh with a divine encounter. You take them up to the mountain of transfiguration and show them how you really are and what you really are. Open up the eyes of our understanding. Father, you said you want to do above and beyond what we could ask or think. We're asking to go to that place. Lord, enlarge us in the place of your presence. Encounter us, we ask. And everyone said, amen. God bless you.